track 12. And now we come to our feature article. This week's feature article is from TNF Soundings, Olympics, Paralympics, and Visually Impaired Sport by Sound and Vision with Bob and Jill. There is an interview with a visually impaired cyclist who went on to compete in the Paris Olympics, and also information on accessing sport for the visually impaired in their own communities. It lasts for around 14 minutes. We hope you enjoy.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hi, I'm Bob Baker.
And I'm Jill Hardiker.
And together we are Sound and Vision,
bringing you the best information, technology and interviews for the visually impaired and those supporting them.
With this being an Olympic and Paralympic year, let's have a chat about sport.
Ooh, yes, let's. It's not all about being an Olympic athlete, you know, or an elite athlete. You can get involved with sport at any level, and we've got some great ideas and information for you later on.
This time the Olympics are in Paris, France. Based around the Stade de France, at the Eiffel Tower and various locations around Paris. It's starting with the Olympics on July the 26th, 2024, and the Paralympics start on August the 30th.
So let's concentrate on the Paralympics, where there are around 164 events taking place. 90 for men, 74 for women, and a mixed event.
That's a whole lot of activity going on in such a short space.
It is.
There are about 10 areas of sport for the visually impaired athletes. So let's have a look at some of the sports, Jill.
Okay, shall we start with cycling?
We shall.
A short time ago, we had the pleasure of a chat with New Zealand British Paralympic cyclist Steve Bate, MBE, who competes in tandem races as an athlete with a visual impairment. So he explained about his diagnosis and how it affected him and how he became a gold-winning Paralympian.
So for me, it was a bit of a surprise, really, finding out that I had retinitis pigmentosa. I was working for an outdoor charity working with disadvantaged young children in the north of Scotland. And we decided as a group of instructors, it'd be a really good idea to have our eyes tested once a year. And I knew that I had an issue with my eyesight, like in the dark, really, mainly I struggled walking out of like winter climbing and things like that. I trip over things and stuff. So I knew there wasn't something quite right. You know, I went in for a standard eye check and, you know, I could still read the very bottom line off the eye chart. So, you know, my macular vision was still really good. Lloyd, the optometrist, said, oh, yeah, you've got 20/20 vision. Great. And, you know, I just made a passing comment, said, well, it's bizarre that because, you know, like I really can't see in the dark that well. You know, if I drop my keys on the floor at my feet, sometimes it takes me a while to actually see where they are to pick them up. So I went on the visual field test, and of course, that exposed that I had absolutely zero peripheral vision. They were straight back into Lloyd's office saying, oh, you need to see this. Yeah, and I remember Lloyd saying, there's a big issue here. Have you got someone who can come and collect you? Because I don't think you should ever drive a car again. God, how old was I? 34, maybe? Fiercely independent male, drove everywhere and, you know, was fit and healthy. Worked as an outdoor instructor. At that point in my life, I was trying to be an alpine guide, you know, trying to guide people in the Himalayas and stuff. That's what I was working towards. And all of a sudden, that looked like there was a big question mark around that. This was going to be my life moving forward, you know, not being able to drive. And certainly guiding in the mountains was, that's going to be impossible. Like, I can't do that. What I knew as my life, you know, this great adventure and being in the mountains and climbing and doing all this fun stuff, I just couldn't see how that was possible. So I really struggled for about 6 months to work out how on earth I was going to carry on. You know, I had everyone around me going, don't worry, it'll be fine, you'll work it out. But at the time when I was going through that, none of them had gone through anything like this. So at that point, I was searching for someone basically to tell me everything was going to be okay. The criteria of that was they've had to have some sort of big ordeal in their life. And that person came with a friend of Karen Dar, who had a climbing accident at 21 years old, broke her back in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. So I spoke to Karen. She said, you know, hey, you know, great, you're going blind, you can race on the back of a tandem and race for Great Britain. Of course, at that time, I was like, no, Karen, you don't understand, I can't do any of this stuff anymore. And she kind of palmed off and just said, get a grip of yourself, mate. You know, you've got to move forward. And the sooner you do that, the better. I mean, I guess at the time that was pretty hard to hear, but she was bang on right. And I guess I came away from that, yeah, with a different outlook, you know, like, hey, okay, Karen says it's going to be okay. It's probably going to be okay. For me, the first thing I did was got back to climbing because, you know, I'd stopped climbing for kind of 4 or 5 months thinking that that wasn't possible. The true thing, I think, that unlocked everything and made me realize my potential was going to El Capitan and soloing El Capitan. When I topped out on El Cap, the self-confidence that gave me was incredible. And like I say, Karen planted that seed of cycling in my head. And, you know, at that point, I think it was about 2.5 years away from the Paralympics in Rio. And I thought, wow, I mean, imagine going to a Paralympics when you've never been an athlete in your life. I went on what's called a talent ID day, where people can come along and try out, jump on a bike and see if you can produce, you know, enough power and try and find people to, you know, take up the sport and represent the country. In January 2014, I was brought on to the podium program for British Cycling as a full-time athlete. You know, you have to prove you can compete at the highest level. Adam, who I rode with, my site pilot on the tandem, we worked incredibly well together. You know, we were relentless for 2.5 years. It was never guaranteed that I'd ever go to a Paralympics without, you know, probably the hardest work of my life, I think.
And all their hard work paid off, as they won 2 gold medals and set a world record.
That's good.
Absolutely amazing. He has recently been named for the squad in the Paris Paralympics, so once again, he has chance of winning more golds in Paris. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we wish him well for
that. Yeah, we do. Right, let's have a look at swimming. Can you swim in a straight line? Because I can't, Jill.
Well, I used to do backstroke, so I used to lie on my back and watch the lights in the ceiling to keep me in line.
Different things work for different people.
Absolutely.
That's great, but how do visually impaired swimmers manage to swim in a straight line?
Well, I'm told it's down to practice, practice, and more practice, which is always the case with these things. And even then, it's still possible to veer off course.
They say the attempt to keep straight by always training with symmetry in mind, both in and out of the water. Basically, that means they want both sides of the body with the same strength, so they don't veer off one way because they're stronger on one side than the other.
Yeah, and that makes them work equally, doesn't it? But some swimmers drag their fingers across the surface of the water so that if they do veer off course toward the lane line, they can hopefully detect the lane line with their fingers, which would allow them to correct their course before they crash or lose precious time, which is when you're swimming competitively is most important.
That's a great idea with the fingers. So they manage to keep straight and they got to the end of the pool. How do they know when to turn?
Well, now this is an interesting one because they have what's called a tapper, who has a long pole and lets the swimmer know when they're approaching the end of the pool by tapping them either once or twice. Some people like to be tapped on the back, but some people like to be tapped on the head.
Okay, so once they've been tapped, they just spin round and go back the other way.
Exactly.
Changing the sport. You had a great experience in 2012 Paralympics in London, didn't you, Jill?
Oh, Bob, yeah, I did. I went to an athletics event in the Olympic Stadium and, amongst other events, watched the visually impaired long jump.
And whereabouts were you seated in the stadium, Jill?
Well, we were right in front of the sand pit where they jump, and it was amazing to watch how it all took place.
That's an amazing place to see the event.
Oh, we've got such a good view. Each athlete came out with their coach and they went and sat on benches. And when it was time for them to compete, the coach took them to the start of the run-up. And as he did so, the announcer said the name of the athlete and then he asked for silence.
Silence? Why would they need silence?
Well, we wondered that, but then it became obvious because the stadium went quiet. And as it did, the coach started clapping slowly and the athlete started to run, getting faster and faster as the coach clapped faster and faster. And as the athlete approached the board to jump, the coach stopped clapping, so the athlete knew when to jump.
And I presume then the stadium just erupted.
Absolutely, yeah. Once they jumped, everybody started to cheer. It was a wonderful thing to see. And the coach then walked to collect the athlete from the other end of the jump and took him back to the benches for the next person to have a go.
That's absolutely amazing. Must have been a great time.
Oh, it was brilliant.
So if you're not an Olympic athlete and you're built for comfort and not for speed like me.
Yeah.
There's a massive amount of sports you can get involved with.
Yeah, there is. And a great place to start would be British Blind Sport, BBS, which is a charity that works across the UK to ensure that people with sight loss have the same opportunities as sighted people to access and enjoy sport and physical activity.
They work closely with leisure centres, clubs, national governing bodies to increase opportunities for people who are blind or partially sighted through being involved in sports. raising awareness for sight loss across the sports sector, improving accessibility across sports venues, and encouraging more people with sight loss to get involved with sport.
And BBS have an activity finder, so whether you're already active and looking for new challenges, or you want to get active and don't know where to start, this is a fabulous resource for you. Find out what sports and physical activities are available in your area by using the activity finder.
We went on their website and looked at the Get Active section, which then linked us to the A to Z of Sport, which has 44 different great activities to get involved with.
So, are you ready, Bob?
I'm trying.
Here's your rundown. Angling, archery, athletics.
Baseball, blind football and boccia.
Bowls, canoeing and chess.
Climbing, cricket and curling.
Cycling, equestrian events and exercise classes.
Goalball, golf and gym and health club.
Gymnastics, ice hockey, ice skating.
Judo, karate and kayaking.
Mixed martial arts, open water swimming and para powerlifting. That's not easy to say.
No, it's not easy to do either. Partially sighted football, reformer pilates and rowing.
Running, sailing and shooting.
Showdown, skiing and snooker.
Snowboarding, swimming and taekwondo.
Bowling, tennis and triathlon.
Visually impaired rugby and walking. And well, when you've I'm done about, all of that...
I'm about worn out, just running through them.
Absolutely.
But there's such a selection.
Yeah.
How about starting with a nice walk to relax?
That's a good idea. You can go as far as you like, as fast as you like, or as slow as you like to start with, and it's easy, accessible and cost effective. Joining a local walking group can also help you meet new people, and it's a great activity to improve your health and fitness as well as your mental well-being.
I love being out, having a walk in the fresh air.
Yeah.
But if it's absolutely throwing it down, how about a game of chess?
Oh yes, that sounds more like me.
The Braille Chess Association currently support over 150 visually impaired players and learners and have over 70 members without a visually impairment to assist in the variety of ways. They play with pieces that have pegs to fit in the board, with the black section being higher than the white section.
But if being energetic is what you crave, then how about visually impaired football?
It's five-a-side played on a solid surface, surrounded by boards to keep the ball in play. The goalkeeper is sighted or partially sighted, and it's played in two halves, each of 20 minutes.
The goalkeeper helps to organise the defence, and the coach behind the attacking goal directs the forward players. When a player's about to make a tackle, they shout,
"Voi!"
And the ball is equipped with a noise-making device.
Let's go to the pool.
Oh, right.
Swimming can be an excellent sport for individuals who are blind or have low vision. Swimming for exercise can be achieved by swimming exercises, water aerobics, and laps of swimming. It's also about having fun too. Maybe just splashing about in the shallow end. I love doing that.
But any local public swimming pool should be able to make adequate adaptations for you to swim recreationally in the public sessions. And if you want to get involved in swimming, call ahead to your local leisure centre to make them aware of your visual impairment. Also, alert the lifeguard so they can make any necessary changes to fully assist you with your independence. There are many swimming clubs that are inclusive to individuals who are blind or partially sighted, and swimming with a club allows you to improve your technique and enter competitions if you want to. It's also a great way of meeting other people.
We hope this has given you an insight in some of the sports in the Paralympics and some of the sports that you can get involved with yourselves. Not only is it good for health, but being involved in sport can help confidence in other areas of life.
Yes, it can. And if you want to find out more, the website for British Blind Sport is britishblindsport.org.uk. I'll spell that one out for you. It's britishblindsport.org.uk.
A big thanks to Steve Bate for telling us his story, and we wish him all the very best in the future.
And particularly in Paris.
Yeah, let's hope he does really well, along with all the other of the athletes as well.
Thank you for listening to Sound and Vision with Bob and Jill. So until the next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
DNF Soundings.